This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North, the week of August the 29th, 2017, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 233 of TVA, the podcast. Oh, Greg, it's been the dog days of summer, hasn't it?
It really has. I mean, you were off doing things, I was off doing things, and just like that, a month has gone by. It's been crazy.
You know, I was down in Los Angeles checking out all the new shows coming out and, doing some research for the podcast.
Good for you. I appreciate that.
I went to the Warner Brothers studios while I was down there and checking out some of the sets, doing some set visits, if you will.
Did you really do that? Did you really go to Warner Brothers?
Yeah, we actually went on the Big Bang Theory set.
So what was that like?
It was cool. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I've been on a couple of sets before. I mean, just for kicks. I mean, it's not like I've been on sets as much as you have, where you've done a lot of interviews from there and stuff like that. But actually going into the Warner Brothers studio, we did like the 2.5 hour, like it was about $65 or $70, but it was well worth it.
Yeah.
Because the Warner Brothers studio property is huge.
Yeah.
It's massive. It's in Burbank.
Yeah.
And if you look at it on a map, it takes up a huge swath of Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they have all of the old style, like, you know, you've heard the old studio, you know, here's like New York Street in the 1920s.
Right.
That's where they have that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they have all of that stuff, all the different neighborhoods and stuff like that. And so, and then they have, so those are the outdoor areas. And then they have the actual, what you've seen, like this big studio buildings, like row after row after row of the big studio buildings, one belonging to each show, basically.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool. And so we went into the Big Bang Theory set, and you could see lined up across the front of the soundstage all of the sets, all the most basic sets that they use. So,
right.
Like, there was the front room set up. Right down at the end, they had the cafeteria from work.
Very cool.
They always hang out at the cafeteria. There was the foyer area in front of the elevator door with the do not use tape on it.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we were basically... they took the tour groups in there, and you're not allowed to take pictures in there, unfortunately,
because
you might find something like, I don't know, there might be some kind of plot point that you uncover or something.
Right, or someone's drugs that have been left out.
Yeah, I somehow don't think that for Big Bang Theory it would matter as much as, say, Game of Thrones, but...
No! That's right.
But anyway, but it was cool, and it was neat, and so we went there and did the Hollywood Walk of Fame and all of that stuff, and... You know, Jay took a bunch of pictures of stars on the walk. She took more pictures than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got a picture of the Adam West one.
Oh, good.
That's like brand new. Like,
yeah.
Even though he just passed, his star just went up like a short while ago.
Right.
And we took pictures of like Canadian ones and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool.
Right on.
Yeah.
You got to do it. If you're going to be in that city, you got to do something like that.
Exactly. And so we packed a whole lot into one day, basically, around Hollywood. But a lot of the big stuff is like around one or two central areas, unless
mm-hmm.
you're going out to all of the studios. And like Universal Studios out there is more of a theme park than it is just a studio tour.
Yes, it is. I did the Universal. I was there for a show, and I found that was very much the case, that it was more of a, you know, there were rides and things like that, which
exactly.
threw me off.
Whereas the Warner Brothers one is like you can do the tour. There's different tours they have, but it's the tour.
Yeah.
And like they've got it was cool. They had the jungle set, and that's where they actually did some reshoots for Jurassic Park way back when, you know, with Jeff Goldblum being chased by the dinosaur and stuff like that, and making the comments in the Jeep and stuff like that. So,
well, while you were doing that, I was going on some set visits of my own, and I was actually in Hamilton while you guys were out west. Yes, I was on the set of Frankie Drake. Was filming some scenes just down the hill from the botanical gardens in an old cemetery. So
okay.
I watched them filming a scene there. And then I...
Was it Holy Sepulchre Cemetery?
I can't remember the name of it. It was
that's a really big Catholic cemetery right across from the Botanical Gardens.
Oh yeah, we were there for part of the afternoon, but earlier on in the day we were down the hill. Like we went past the Botanical Gardens, past some homes, and then literally down a hill. It might have all been the same cemetery.
It's a big cemetery.
Okay, yeah. That was the cemetery that we were in then, because it was all kind of on that same set of ground. So that was where I was for part of a day, and then I was at the studio watching some second season filming of Kim's Convenience and talked to the cast of that show. And then most recently, I was in the Bloor and Spadina area, for season two of
Arrear. I like the dialect of Arrear.
Oh, I know, right?
I was down in the Bloor and Spadina area.
I was hoping you'd let that slide, but I knew deep down you wouldn't.
No, never.
Second season of Working Moms was filming at a home there. So I got some set visits under my belt, and therefore some stories to go up on the website as the new seasons roll out.
Very, very cool. So with that, before we get into talking, there's an annual thing that gets done for the past few years on the TVA website, which we should probably mention off the top because we may forget about it if we don't.
Yeah.
But before we get into the calendar, before we get into all of that stuff, first of all, we should probably talk about the beverage update.
We should. Today, we're actually filming. We're actually talking. It's a good thing we're not filming because I'm not wearing pants. No, I am.
It's mid-afternoon now, so technically you could drink.
I could, but I'm not. I'm drinking bespoke water out of a artisanal glass.
There you go.
Or an artisanal water out of a bespoke glass.
Well, I'm actually currently drinking a sugar-free iced tea, but one of the advantages of going down to the States is being able to pick up stuff in the U.S. And while I didn't find a fantastic liquor store to buy bourbon at, what I do love buying, and it's such a gimmick on behalf of some of the distilleries, is they will make for export only whiskeys.
Okay.
And they do it for a whole bunch of things. But like, so Jack Daniel's has two specific whiskeys that they make, which is only for export. They don't sell it in the States. Mm. And so you can only find it if you don't find it overseas, you can find it at a duty-free store, but only if you're leaving the United States.
Okay.
So the one that I picked up, which I will hopefully be enjoying later, is called Jack Daniel's Number 27 Gold.
Mm.
So the standard Jack Daniel's is Jack Daniel's Number 7. That's because it was the 7th recipe. So I'm guessing this is the 27th recipe that they've tried, but it's basically double barreled. So basically what they do is they barrel it once, take it out, put it into a second barrel for further maturation. And I haven't cracked it open yet, but apparently it's really good. And it was relatively expensive. It was about $100 for the bottle. But it's one of these things where it comes in a fancy gold box.
Wow.
And I'm a total sucker for that stuff.
Yeah.
So before I ever started drinking bourbon, I was drinking Jack Daniel's. And so I do like to pick up the Jack Daniel's where I can. So that was my latest pickup. Even though it's not technically bourbon, it's technically Tennessee whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
It's close enough. It does meet the requirements for bourbon. It just meets the extra requirements to actually make it a Tennessee whiskey.
And do you have a description for us?
Oh, I didn't actually pull that. Hang on for a second.
Sure.
So I will pull this up. So let's see. I'll have to call. I'm not sharing with anybody the actual Sam Elliott website. Where he actually blogs about bourbon. It's a very secret website. He doesn't have, not everybody gets to see it. It's by subscription only.
Okay.
So I don't want to. So by the way, there was only 500 cases produced.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Of this,
very
of
exclusive.
This stuff. So it's quite exclusive. So let me see. Let me see if I can find my old Sam Elliott read here. Okay. This is not about tasting notes or anything else like that. This is Sam Elliott Reed right off the Jack Daniel's website.
Great.
So it's actually historical information as read by Sam Elliott.
Okay.
This beautiful bottle first became available on November 1st, 2013 at Singapore's Changi International Airport. Available in a 700 milliliter bottle, the original run of this 80 proof whiskey is considered very limited. Many people have asked what the number 27 stands for, and that's quite simple, really. This whiskey is old number seven Tennessee whiskey that's been double barreled and double mellowed. Look for this bottle to become widely available in 2015 as it grows in popularity.
All right.
See? So, not quite tasting notes.
No.
But how many times do we get to refer to Singapore's Changi International Airport?
Never. I think that's the first on the podcast.
Exactly.
Hopefully not the last.
So let's talk about the Kids Help Phone auction.
Yes.
So for the past few years, this started about 3 or 4 years ago. Diane kind of got it going. Mm-hmm. I think she had it going for 1 year before we kind of took a hiatus. And then I think she kept it going during the hiatus, actually, on it as its own thing.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of kept going ever since. And it's depending on the time of year, it's not necessarily always been at the same time of year. But it looks like there is you got a list of things that people can come and bid on. Fan people of all the, I'm looking at a list of at least about 40 different things here.
Yeah, there are a lot. And like you said, yeah, Diane started this and happily I've carried it on. And this is in support of Kids Help Phone. It's a free, anonymous, confidential phone in and online counseling service for youth. And if you don't want to bid, but you want to go to the website and make a donation, you can just go to kidshelpphone.ca to do that. But if you'd like to bid on items, we have, like you said, there's about 40 of them. The auction is open until this Friday, September the 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern. So we've got a few days left. And we have, just today, actually, Tuesday, we put up the latest thing, which was a visit to the set of Winona Earp. So if you Ooh. Want to do that, you can click on all the links. excuse me. I'll put a link in the show notes. But yeah, there's this set visit to Winona Earp for season 3. We've got some signed comic books for Winona Earp. If you are a writer and would like your script taken a look at by Aaron Martin or Rachel Langer, you can bid to have your scripts and scripts looked at and notes given. They both work in the industry and have for several years, so they can help you tighten up your scripts. We've got a couple of Murdoch Mystery prize packs. We've got an Orphan Black press kit. We've got a ton of Saving Hope stuff that's been signed. Also some Saving Hope themed clothing. Dark Matter scripts that have been signed, some Dark Matter knapsacks, and DVD and Blu-ray sets that are available. There's a one-year subscription to Canadian Screenwriter magazine available. Also, a one-year subscription to Crave TV. Items from Discovery. Got some CBC stuff that is Anne of Green Gables related. And yeah, tons and tons of things. And nobody, actually. E1 had sent me some items, and two of the items that they sent me were Walking Dead Rick Grimes figures, and I don't have any, there are no bids on either of those two, so I don't know if that means that because they're not Canadian TV related or people just hate Rick Grimes, I'm not sure what it is.
Well, do we have, do you have links up on the TVA Facebook page at this point?
Yes, there is.
So I'll be, after we record the podcast, maybe I'll be going up there and sharing it. And because even if people don't necessarily listen to the podcast or follow the website, that doesn't mean they might not want some of this stuff.
No, absolutely. Yeah, quite true.
Okay, very cool. So it is, there a direct link? No, it's rather a long link. So if you just go to the TVA.com website and click on somewhere near the top of the page, you will see the link for the Kids Help Phone auction.
Yep, it's there. And if you go to the Facebook page, which there's a link to that off to the side, the left hand side of the website, it'll take you to the Facebook page. And there's a permanent link. I've tagged it to the top of the page there as well. And yeah, that's lots of places to find it.
Very, very cool. Again, like Murdoch Mysteries prize packs, Winona Earp. Geez, a whole bunch of stuff. Saving Hope, which if you're a fan, just went off the air. Orphan Black, there's stuff up there. Dark Matter. Geez, a whole bunch of stuff. So if you're a fan of any of these shows and you want to get some swag, some of it signed.
Yes.
Some of it signed, some of it not. But that's cool. So please, everybody, check that out. And it's all going to a good cause. So there you go, Kids Help Phone, and we'll keep mentioning that over there. When's your last bid date?
It's going to be this Friday at 11 a.m. is when the auction closes. Okay. So just got a few days left.
So we're actually really, really tight on that. So get your bids in soon. Very, very soon. That takes us to the calendar. Haven't had to do that for a while.
No, I almost forgot.
We actually have some stuff on the calendar. So let's jump back very quickly just to mention that last Friday we had the season finales of both Winona Earp and of Dark Matter. both on space.
Yes, that's right. One show has been renewed as of right now. We know that Winona Earp is coming back for a third season. And as of press time, as they say, August the 29th, we are still waiting to find out whether there is going to be another season of Dark Matter or not.
Okay. Now, did it... I know that in the first season, I think it... First season, it did better than expected. That's not to say it was expected to do poorly, but I seem to remember it kind of got some... Maybe it was because it was matched up. It seems like Space does a good job of like kind of matching it up in blocks with like other Canadian-based science fiction
shows. Yeah, Space and Sci-Fi this year, it's been it's been a like a triple block. So Killjoys at 8, Dark Matter at 9, yeah, and Winona Earp at 10 o'clock. And the interesting thing is that Winona Earp has been renewed, but the numbers for Winona Earp are down, or not down, but their ratings, Dark Matter and Killjoys get better ratings than Winona Earp. So obviously, ratings don't necessarily mean anything anymore. Networks are also looking at social media and, the feedback that they get there. And
and something we're going to be talking about a bit later in the show, the post-production sellability of the
exactly.
show as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So coming up, we're recording this early in the afternoon of the 29th, by the way, but last night, if you had your DVR set, we had the return of Property Brothers on HGTV.
Yes, more of the same. The Scott brothers, one sells, one renovates, and they are out there to find homes for Canadians.
I thought they looked for props for movies and television
shows. Prop brothers, Property Brothers, no.
Or they had prop airplanes.
They were on the cover of People magazine. Right, like last week, about talking about relationships and love and marriage and all that. Like, these guys are a big deal.
Apparently. Well, assuming People magazine's a big deal.
Oh, that's true. I think it is.
Yeah. Also, the return yesterday of Daily Planet, which is kind of a daily science news show, basically.
Season 23, started by Jay Ingram way back when. Yes. And now we have Zia Tong and Dan Riskin hosting the show. Back and stronger than ever, man. It's a show that just, as long as there's science, there's a use for Daily Planet.
As long as there's
science. When science ends, then they're going to cancel that show.
Exactly. It's science, Greg. You can't argue
no.
with it. Exactly. Coming up this Wednesday, the 30th, we have the return of Ice Road Truckers. Let me guess, Truckers on a Road of Ice.
Come on now. You know all about this show. It's been on long
enough.
Yeah,
that's true. I know.
People driving really slow on ice because you have to do that. Because, hey, science. If you drive too fast on a frozen river, the water will ripple and or the ice will ripple and crack, and then your truck will fall in the water, and that isn't good for anybody.
especially
you if you're driving. The hook of this season is because of global warming, the amount of time that the ice is frozen has been a lot less, and that means that the window for driving on the ice roads has become smaller, and that means that there needs to be a bit of a rush to get the supplies up to the north to the diamond mines and the oil fields.
So there's going to be some really dramatically edited deliberations on whether we can drive on the ice.
Should we drive it? Should we not drive it?
Dun, dun. Dun, dun.
A lot of trickling water in the background.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that's on history.
There you go. Now, next week, assuming we're keeping to our 2-week schedule here.
I think we should now that we're back to school, back to the routine. Yes.
So we've got the week of next week, the week of Labor Day. We do have some stuff. And then after that, it gets even crazier. Yeah. But we'll be back for that. But we'll talk about next week. So we got the debut of Mysticons on YTV this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, this is a Canadian show developed by the folks at Nelvana who have a history of doing animated programming here in this country. And it's
That polar bear logo.
The polar bear logo, exactly. And yes. I got the press kit for Mysticons today, and it is the new hero brand that showcases every girl's strength, confidence, and character. So it's about four girls, it's animated, four girls from different walks of life who are transformed into legendary warriors. After discovering a powerful mystical tome, the fearless foursome are drawn together by prophecy to battle evil and protect the realm. So it's a series, rich.
Is there inspirational sage named Edna Garrett?
Yes, exactly. It can be described as Manhattan meets Middle Earth. Well, that's quite a description.
Yeah, I guess.
So there you go. That'll be YTV at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday when it debuts.
Okay. On Monday, September the 4th, on Labor Day, the debut of Worst to First on HGTV.
You want to guess what that's about?
It's HGTV, so it's hard for me to nail this down. Yeah. Like, this could literally be some kind of show about, kind of like, let me imagine, it's like Canada's Worst Driver, so someone who's got, like, the worst backyard deck in the world, and how they're going to renovate it and make it a nicer deck.
Well, you're close. The idea, yeah...
The fact I'm close is
scary.
Yeah,
the fact that you're close is scary. It's two buddies who are longtime builders and contractors, and they have teamed up for this television show where they take the worst-looking house or deck or whatever it is and turn it into the best one.
Yeah, I think I was
pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the only clue, really, was HGTV.
Yeah.
Because that's all I
could. Right, if it was Food Network, it would be something different.
Exactly. Tuesday the 5th, we have Highway Through Hell, which to me is kind of like Ice Road Truckers, except it's not ice.
Yeah, it's tow truck drivers, right? It's the people that keep the trucks off the road when they slide out in BC. And so that's back for another season. That's one of the top rated shows for Discovery, and they've already done one season spinoff of the 401 where they covered the 400 right. series highways out here in the East. So yeah, Highway Through Hell is back on Tuesday night on Discovery.
On Wednesday the 6th, we have the debut on APTN of Nations at War. And this is something I hadn't heard about, so I'm curious to hear what this one's about.
Documentary series. Over 8 centuries, the First Nations fought each other and waves of Europeans over land, resources, power, and survival. So this show is all about documenting that. From the Viking invasion of Newfoundland to the desperate last stand of a Métis nation fighting for recognition, these deadly battles shaped continents. So that is what...
That's cool.
What Nation War is all about.
Like for all of the Canada people's history kind of stuff that we've had to sit through this past year, this looks like it would actually be some stories that people don't generally hear in the history.
Well, the biggest criticism about the Canada 150 special series that CBC did was the fact that the First Nations people weren't represented, and so this is this probably it would have been really smart if CBC had commissioned this as well and broadcast this ahead of their own Canadian history show, because I think they would have dovetailed nicely.
The nice thing about APTN is generally the entire series is usually available streaming online.
Yep.
So even if you don't get APTN or you don't have cable, you can go onto their website.
Exactly.
On Friday the 8th, for season 185 of May Day on Discovery.
Yes, May Day is back. I already let Dave Brodbeck know so that he could let his son Jonathan know. And what I'll do is I will repost the interview that you did with the narrator of May Day. I'll post that again.
It was a shorter interview because we had technical issues, but it was, it was still nice to talk about, and I mean, we talked about just the basic concept of the show and some of the neat things about
it. It's such a huge, Cineflix is the distributor for that show and has sold it to, well over 100 countries around the world broadcast May Day.
Right. Part of the nice thing about it is that, I mean, because a lot of it is footage with a narrator over top, you can narrate it into any language and
absolutely.
It wouldn't matter. Yeah, and everyone likes to hear about a plane disaster.
We're all fascinated with that.
Or potential plane disaster. Yeah. Yes. Speaking of planes, on Sunday the 10th, the return on Discovery of Mighty Planes. Not just regular planes, Greg, but Mighty Planes.
2 days later after covering plane crashes, now we're going to show a bunch of them taking off and flying around. And hopefully they won't be part of a season of May Day. These are big planes, specialty planes that you don't necessarily get to fly in as a customer, but they're used to put out fires, to transport supplies and that type of thing around the world.
And also on the 10th, we have the debut on HGTV of Sarah Off the Grid. I'm guessing this is a show that's about how you can green your property.
Not quite. Sarah Richardson, who's an interior designer, that's where she made her career and had several seasons of her own television show on HGTV several years ago. She's also been featured in the last two seasons of Home to Win. So she's back, and you're a little close because she and her family are building a cottage, and they're building it off the grid.
Okay. So kind of
solar, wind, that type of thing, right?
solar, yeah. And all that stuff. And like, now off the grid, technically, you should be off the road too, but that's a different scenario altogether.
That may, yeah. I'm assuming that they're off the road too, but I bet they're next to a very nice lake.
Yeah, probably. Which technically, the lakes and rivers used to be the grid, so.
Oh, that's true.
It's kind of like Sarah on the old grid as opposed to on the new grid.
That title's getting too long.
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. So there you go, folks. There's the calendar. And like I say, a couple of weeks from now, we've got a bunch of stuff already on there. We've got some major stuff coming up with CBC. Literally all of CBC's shows start kind of around the 15th of yes. September, from between the 15th to the 30th, it's the yep. end of the month. A lot of CBC stuff comes back. So get ready. We'll have all of those announcements coming up in a couple Perfect. Of weeks. Like, other than the calendar, not too many news stories to talk about this week. It's been mostly stuff about dates, but there was one little interesting tidbit that I did want to talk about. And I kind of heard this because many of you know that my local station in Hamilton is CHCH. It's an independent station. We talked about it most recently because they were the station which was the sole broadcaster of mm-hmm. Winona Earp in mm-hmm. season one. Before Space ended up buying it out. But CH made an announcement back a few weeks ago in the summer talking about the fact that they are now going to be the Canadian broadcaster of House of Cards.
Yes, and this kind of hit me out of the blue because I once Winona Earp had left CHCH, I wasn't really sure where they were going to go with their programming. We had already talked about the documentary show that they debuted last year. But yeah, this is the Canadian broadcast premiere of House of Cards on September the 13th. So that means it's going to be starting from season one and continuing on. That's not the only show that's of note. If you're a fan, if you've always wanted to watch The Americans and haven't been willing to pay extra for FX, which is how you could see that before, they're going to be debuting The Americans with a 90-minute premiere on September the 12th. And also The Strain, another FX show that's all about vampires, that's going to start on September the 11th. So this is really interesting, specifically, House of Cards, obviously, because it's a Netflix show and now it's going to be available on basic cable, right? If you buy the basic cable package, you're going to be getting CH and you'll be able to watch House of Cards, The Strain, and The Americans.
I'm wondering if there is an American network, even a secondary network, that is getting the same kind of offer from Netflix. Because at what point does Netflix think to themselves, how are we diluting our brand and how are we saying, we're trying to make these sole properties of Netflix so that people sign on to watch? And then all of a sudden now people just think, well, if I wait long enough, I can just watch it on regular TV.
It is interesting. And I would love to know the financial, they're never going to release that, but I would love the financial thing because for Netflix to even say, oh, let's let this channel and other channels around the world, let them show it off, second window, essentially from us. It is very interesting, especially because so much attention has been made about shows being created over at Netflix and the big names like Seinfeld and Shonda Rhimes all going over there because of the creative freedom. It is interesting to see Netflix now selling their own product back to the conventional networks.
I'm very curious as to how this experiment turns out because I think it would be great if some of the Netflix shows... Netflix is doing a bunch of great content. Yep. Don't get me wrong. They're doing so much content now that some of it isn't necessarily great. They had a track record for the first little while of being pretty spot on with a lot of the stuff they did. And over the past year or two, they've hit a couple of shows where, it was really just over the past 6 months where Netflix ever canceled a show. And that didn't happen before then because they were very picky and choosy about what they did. And they gave a lot of the talent, the creative options to kind of do what they want to. Like, the rumor was when they started House of Cards was that they basically said, we chose Kevin Spacey because we looked at our analytics and saw that our viewers loved mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey. Yeah. And they said, he's somebody who we need to match up with. And so they went to him and said, you want to do a show? Let's do a show. And so I like that model of doing things. I like the creative freedom that they give. And it's ended up with a fantastic show, a show that going into season five this year, because we've got Netflix mm-hmm. and we keep up on it, has gotten a bit over the top, mind you. But still a fun show nonetheless. But it's curious to see, what that, economic model is, which says once we get to this point, it's worth it to move over and to, because HBO, which has had problems over the past few months or so with Game of Thrones getting leaked in foreign markets. So they'll send like a digital copy of the show to like Spain or India or something like that. And then someone at one of those stations will leak the show. But so it's a pay-per-view service in the States, but in other countries, it might just be on a regular network. So that's kind of, seemingly, that's kind of what the model is they're doing here. And I'm wondering if Netflix is thinking to themselves, if we're going to be spending all of this money on series, we just have to find alternate forms of revenue in order to keep creating.
Yeah, that's what
content.
It sounds like to me.
Yeah. And so I'm curious to know how much CH paid for the rights to show this, because even though CH isn't ubiquitous across every place in Canada, it does have, it's because it's an independent channel, it does have reach across
the
country.
It does, and you can go onto their website afterwards and stream episodes as well.
Yeah. So that'll be very interesting. So it starts, House of Cards is September the 13th. And the other thing we were talking about off air earlier was the idea that, you know, normally on Netflix, these shows can be 52 minutes, sometimes like the season finales can be like an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. How is that going to work with a 1 hour timeline, or can they give it an hour and a half or something like that, or, you know, try
we'll have to wait and see. And of course they'll be putting the warnings up there, because there'll be some, you know, some content obviously that may need to be warned about, or, you know, maybe in some cases maybe edited. We will see.
Maybe edit it. Or I, how much you want to make a bet that the 2 minute long theme song is going to be chopped out of 15
point,
seconds?
Right?
A lot of these Netflix shows, I love the return of the theme song. You know, that's just a great segment on its own. How Netflix and other like Amazon and stuff like that have brought back the return of the theme song, because they're not restricted to time. And so you've got some of these great theme songs coming back, but you'll never see a 2 minute long theme. Like Game of Thrones has a 2 minute long theme song, which they will never, never show if it ever makes it to commercial television. So there you go, folks. It is the return, the August return, and 2 weeks from now we will be back. We will have our 2 week schedule reintroduced. So we thank you for those of you who've been looking at the feed and wondering when's it coming back.
Yes, and also I've got the next TV ABCs that'll be going up next week will be with director Jill Carter, and who's been working on a bunch of stuff, including a new online series called Spiral. She also directed an episode of Murdoch Mysteries, so I'm going to talk to her, and I've also I think I've done at least 4 more TV ABCs. So we are heading into fall with a bunch of TV ABCs, writers, another director, and then a couple more writers. So we are all set for the fall.
There we go. We're good to go. Greg, why don't you tell people where they can find you when you're not here talking Canadian TV?
Sure, you can find me running the show over at tva.com. That's tv-eh.com. All the links to the YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter are all there on the left-hand side. Also, the Twitter account, if you want to just go to Twitter itself, it's @TV_EH. And my personal Twitter account is @Greg_David. Again, if you want to donate to Kids Help Phone, you can either go to kidshelpphone.ca or you can find the link on the website and bid on one of these great items. Again, it closes this Friday, September the 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern. How about you, Anthony?
You can find all the other podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com and find me on Twitter @AnthonyMarco. And if you'd like to support the show in a way other than just listening or sharing with your friends, you can go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/TV_EH. And if you'd like to contribute just $1 a month or a couple bucks a month to keep this one of the few podcasts that we know that talks solely about Canadian television, not only the shows, but the industry as well. If you'd like to help keep us going, you can go and contribute there as well. There you go, Greg. The August episode is in the books.
Welcome back. School's upon us. I've got to go out and get my binders and liquid paper and pencils and pens, but I'm all ready to go.
And my
geometry
set.
And the calculator. Ooh, yeah. The scientific calculator.
Yes. My TI-55-2. That wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.